Get a load of these wrestling nerds.
Are we rolling?
They've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling. They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
Deal with it.
Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers. That's what they are. Here's JR and Miz with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
What the hell is that?
Sorry, just got a message.
What is it?
And that message says...
It's clobbering time?
It's not clobbering time yet. It will be.
It's Vader time?
Congratulations to the new...
What?
Pro Wrestling Lifers champion, JR.
Did I win my belt back?
Dude, you swept
Hold on, where is this title?
Go get the title.
We're moving here.
Gotta go get the title because Full Gear, of course, for some reason...
You hear that?
I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to AEW wrestling.
Anything in general.
I think I figured this out.
What?
Because I'm in the WWE's head. I am.
Right.
I'm super, super with them. You've only had the belt very, very limited this year.
I've had some pretty good reigns, though.
The AEW stuff, I'm 0-for-4, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They've only had 2 pay-per-views. We've done our predictions. We'll go through those pretty quickly here.
Yeah.
But, Full Gear, you guessed every match right except for one.
Did I really?
And I have a theory behind why and how you did this.
What do you got?
I'm not going to tell you now. We have to do that after the news. And we have to tease people like, hey, listen for more. Because it's really good. I mean, this is coming out of my brain.
They've made it this far.
It's pretty good stuff.
So you want to do news first?
Yeah, why not?
And then we'll recap Full Gear.
Sure thing, champ.
And I think I call the shots now.
All right, champ. Whatever you say, champ.
Even though there is a shiny briefcase over there.
I'm just going to hit the news sounder. How's that?
Hit it in 3. Well, it does its own countdown.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Here we go. My first piece of in the news, Moose. And I think that's soon going to be on a t-shirt.
My first piece of in the news, Moose,
..
Everybody's got their own t-shirt for stuff.
Yeah. It's clobbering time.
I know, right?
The internet broke the other night when CM Punk showed up on WWE Backstage on Fox Sports 1. And he is signed on as a WWE analyst with Fox.
Very cool.
Right?
Very, very cool.
I watched this whole behind-the-scenes video on Twitter where he had to be, like, snuck into the building, and it was dope. Right down to earth.
You got to hear this.
In a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Let's go!
All right, we can't play anymore because...
Well, copywritten.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
They'll find our podcast and shut it down just for that.
If they can. Yeah. We're pretty in the dark webs of the internet here. One of the things that really chapped my butt about this was a lot of angry wrestling fans.
Why?
Are calling CM Punk a sellout, calling him a loser for agreeing to work with the WWE again.
I saw this on Facebook, I believe, that one of his friends in the Hollywood community, I believe it might have been Rob Zombie, maybe. It was Rob Zombie or
Sweet.
Somebody that said he didn't sell out, he cashed in. And
right.
He basically retweeted or resent the video from CM Punk years ago where he's like, I didn't sell out. I cashed in.
Right.
And
that was when, of course, he was in Ring of Honor signing his WWE contract.
Look, you and I both know as wrestling fans, we can be idiots sometimes.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Okay, you and I can both admit when we're idiots.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to see Goldberg and Undertaker? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
No. We should never saw that.
Yeah.
But we were rabid for it. Do you want to see CM Punk in the ring again? Sure, who doesn't?
Well, wrestlers are already taking shots at him like 10 minutes after it happened.
I
Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt.
I think about him as coming from him. It's like, look, I don't have to get beat up every night. I don't have to do anything, and I cash a nice check.
Right.
And I get to say what I think because he's technically not working for WWE.
Exactly.
He's working for Fox, and he even had like a – I don't know if you watched this, but online they have this backstage like 60 minutes. minutes before it goes on.
Really?
You know, and it's like this whole behind the scenes, like day of WrestleMania type thing.
Huh.
And it's basically, he explains what was explained to him, and it was a Fox executive saying, we've got Troy Aikman for a football analyst.
Yep. We've got Joe Buck for whatever.
Right. We've got all these ex-players for all these things. You're an ex-wrestler that has the key inside to everything.
Yep.
And you get to say what you want.
That's cool.
So he gets to open the mic and say whatever he wants. Pipe bomb.
I was going to say, we're going to have a couple of pipe bombs during WWE backstage. I haven't even watched it yet, so I'm thinking I'm going to have to now.
Well, the intro was kind of cool how they did it. They made it a big deal, and you can actually see him like talk about this backstage video. You can actually see him get nervous about it. They brought him in. Yeah. They put him in a scarf.
That's what I was seeing on Twitter.
Yeah, no one could see his face. And everybody except for Renee Young had no idea what it was.
That's cool.
So if you
Paige
watch...
Paige freaks out,
and she was like, oh, it's good to see. And he walks right by her, you know. But he's going to do his own thing. If you look at Adam Cole's face, he's like...
Dream match.
What's going on?
Yeah.
So totally awesome. I can't wait for this. Now... Do you want to watch WWE backstage?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, I like Booker T, but, man, CM Punk being there?
Yeah. Christian's there. Cool, but Punk?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
You know
Especially
what else is awesome?
Especially if he's there all week. Oh, every single week,
he's
I mean.
There, yeah. You know what else is awesome?
That you're the champ.
No. Outside
no, you're right.
of that.
It's not awesome.
The Miz recently signed the dotted line on a new multi-year contract extension, and sources say both sides are extremely happy with the new agreement.
Well, he didn't sell out either. He just cashed in big time because Miz and Mrs. is just...
You swear by that show.
The Miz and... Well, you're watching Divas.
I finally caught up all the way up to episode 6.
Sheamus, if you're listening, we completely agree with you. You and me, we're eye to eye on the stinking Divas.
I don't know, man. I think he might change his tone this season. It's pretty good.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Is this the season with Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
That's why you're watching it. Oh, and Mandy Rose is in it too, right?
More so Sonya Deville than Mandy Rose.
Well, and
she has a really cool story.
She does. But, you know, is Lacey Evans on it?
No, but I'm
Is Bayley
soon
on
enough?
It?
No.
Then why are you watching
Bayley's too badass for that. Bayley would beat up Ronda Rousey.
See, now she's so badass that she'll be on it next season.
Well, on the topic of Total Divas, a former Total Divas alum, Paige,
yes,
also signed a new contract extension with WWE. And this was after months of pretty extraneous negotiation, so I'm surprised this actually got done.
What is she going to be doing?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. You can't wrestle. I mean, she's not really a manager anymore. This backstage thing is a perfect role for her to, you know.
I think so. I think that works. I think if you're doing her on the pre-shows and backstage, I think this backstage role is perfect for Renee Young as well.
Yeah.
I think it works for Booker T because he makes
I don't mean to cut you off, but this belt is hurting my shoulder. It's so heavy.
It's rough. I've been carrying it all year.
Yeah.
So I don't mind carrying it. Survivor Series is coming up, what, a week?
Dude, it's right around
the corner.
Yeah.
I'll get it back. Don't worry.
We'll see.
Me and WWE.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Survivor Series because that brings me to my next piece of In the News, Moose.
Okay.
It looks like immediately following Survivor Series, the new Stone Cold Steve Austin interview series is set to premiere on the WWE Network.
And his first guest,
The Undertaker.
I wish I had the music queued up, but I'm not that good.
That would have been incredible. The show is called Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Broken Skull Sessions. And who a better first guest than the Dead Man?
I like it because you're finally getting these guys. Yeah, and you're finally getting these guys on a conversational basis. Now, the Stone Cold podcast was really, really cool. And you can tell that they were conversing on a very natural basis.
And Stone Cold made some people uncomfortable.
But that's the thing.
Right.
He made Dean Ambrose really uncomfortable, which, you know, he should have.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he was testing him a little bit.
But the whole thing is watching these guys, you know, if you watch the preview, you see him clinking a couple of whiskey glasses together. Yeah. It's very relaxed. They're cutting up, telling stories. It's what I envision this to be, what you see, like when you see Mick Foley and these guys out live at, you know, places like Zany's and other places around the country where they're doing, you know, Q&As basically.
Jim Ross just did that the other night at Zany's.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the kind of thing I expect this to be more like. more relaxed. Let's tell some stories. Let's cut up and let's have fun. And as a wrestling fan, to be able to hear those things.
Yeah.
Dude, I've read DDP's book. I've read Mick Foley's books. And there's a couple other people. Chris Jericho's book. All absolutely stinking hilarious.
Yeah.
So if they ever put a show on that they're going to walk around and just talk about those books, like Mick Foley did, he was one of the first ones to
do it. That'd be cool.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's the best time.
So, my final piece of In the News, Moose.
Sorry, I went off there.
A future WWE Hall of Famer and former world champion.
Me?
He's officially,
I'm the former champ.
Is officially joining the DC Universe.
Okay, hang on. A former, which
a former
which,
world champion.
Former world champ.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So you're talking Batista probably.
I'm talking bigger than Batista.
Wait.
Yeah.
Bigger than Batista.
Batista's already part of the Marvel Universe.
Dude, you're totally pulling the rug out. It's going to be something like, I don't know. I can't think of a... It's going to be... you're talking about the Repo Man or something.
No, I wish. I'm talking about the guy who is going to play Black Adam. I'm talking about the People's Champion.
The Rock?
Jabroni beating, pie eating, trailblazing, eyebrow raising. I added Ric Flair into there somehow, but son of a gun. Yeah, The Rock has officially announced on his Instagram that after years of circling the project, that he'll don the cape and become Black Adam of the DC Universe.
No idea anything about that one.
I don't know a lot about Black Adam either, but if The Rock is going to play him, he's probably a badass mofo.
Yeah, I've got to see the new Jumanji. It looks really good, too.
Absolutely. So, why is The Rock putting out like all of my favorite movies?
Well, CM Punk sure isn't.
No.
Did you see the previews to his last one, the horror movie? It looks interesting.
I think so.
It looks interesting. It's there's really low budget,
different
but it could
level.
Be
and on the same token, you got to remember when The Rock started, he also did The Tooth Fairy, and he did Doom.
No, his first one was like Scorpion King, where it had that terrible CGI and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, but he was good in that.
No, not really.
Walking Tall was awesome.
Walking Tall, classic.
The Rundown,
another
awesome.
Classic. Yes.
He had a lot of great ones, and then just over time became the biggest Hollywood star.
Yeah, but did
star.
You see Hobbs and Shaw yet or no?
No.
See, I got to see that one too.
No, I didn't see that yet.
Because his protege is in that movie.
Yeah, Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is in that movie.
I thought you were talking about me for a sec, but yeah,
I was
Roman
talking about
is in
the
there
big
too.
Dog.
Exactly. That's why I thought you alluded to.
No.
Well, that right there is going to conclude In the News. Hit the bed.
Still don't have a bed for you.
Jeez, man. What am I not paying you for?
Look, I'm sorry, champ. It's just not happening this week. Maybe next week. Anyway, dude, lots to talk about. So we talked about CM Punk. We talked about all this stuff. The podcast I wanted to talk a little bit more about. But you are the champ now, uh-huh. So let's go through full gear real quick.
Yeah, I want to hear this rundown of how – I mean, I'm not surprised I got the belt back.
Well, here's the thing.
But I want to know how.
We didn't have all the matches laid out to us, and we did this podcast like the day before it happened.
Yeah.
So they had some last-minute additions.
They should have had some last-minute subtractions.
Yeah, there was a couple of those. So let's run down here. The first match was Britt Baker and Bea Priestley. And it was in a pre-show.
Yeah.
So I did not actually see that match. I had Bea Priestley with the upset. Britt Baker with the win, and I wouldn't be surprised if you have a – and you – what's funny is, dude, I looked down this whole card, and the picks you made, you played it so safe.
Yeah.
And that's me – that's to me AEW. AEW is playing everything safe right now. When
really?
I look at things, and I go, man, think of what could happen if Pac did defeat Hangman Page.
Yeah.
Hangman Page would go down this spiral, and there's this other story.
And he'd become like Fat Thor.
Yeah, or something like that. So I totally agree. But they're just playing everything so safe. And this Cody thing, when we'll get to that match, the ending was actually perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually perfect. But
it was dude.
Again, you picked Britt. Good call. She locked in the submission. What is that thing called? The lockjaw?
Yeah.
Dude, it's pretty.
Where she like hooks it in and then comes around slowly, and as the crowd starts to build up, and then clink, locks it right in there.
The mandible claw. Let's go to the Proud and Powerful.
Can I just come out the gate real quick?
Say it.
What a terrible tag team name.
The Proud and Powerful?
Yeah.
I honestly don't even know who it is. Who is it?
It's they were formerly LAX and Impact.
Oh.
So they had such a cool tag team name before. Now they're Proud and Powerful. Proud of what?
Yeah. Kind of lame. Man,
I don't get it.
So LAX is, I mean.
Impact owns the name. They can't. I guess they can't do anything about it.
Oh, I thought it was an airport thing.
Could be.
I don't know. But anyway, I don't think, did we even have that? Yeah, Young Bucks, we both picked the Young Bucks to win. We both lost. That was your only missed pick.
Really? I was really surprised that they took the L there.
I'm not so much. I mean, you got to look at these guys when you have the fans that you have for AEW, and they're playing it safe, man. They really are. With Cody's results, too, I mean, you got to think they can't be putting the belts on themselves all the time or they can't be winning all the time.
Yeah.
They don't need to win.
I think
the Young Bucks are the Young Bucks, and they don't need to win.
Well, I'll tell you when we break down Dynamite here in just a few minutes why I'm completely pissed off at them.
Who, Young Bucks?
Yes.
Okay.
But I will say they put on a good match.
I felt
Nick Jackson did. I think he did a lot of the carrying in the match because he was selling that knee and that leg injury really good from when he kicked the post.
Right.
I thought that was excellent stuff because, you know, those guys get criticized for a lot of that stuff.
Sure.
Sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly. And it's no secret here on, you know, Pro Wrestling Lifers, I've been drinking their Kool-Aid for a while. I have a love-hate relationship with the Young Bucks.
Right.
So I was actually surprised and excited to see the level of match that they put on.
My wife and I were watching this TV show called Strange Addictions. Have you seen this thing yet?
No.
And it reminded me of you and your addiction with the Young Bucks. But these were people that would like
what?
These were people that had like eating disorders. Like they would eat mattresses and they would lick their cats. And that was an addiction, you know, that they would have to do this. So, you know, you talked about having this hate relationship with the Young Bucks. That's what it reminds me of, is you're just like, Young Bucks, all the way, you know.
And then, boom.
You try to drop kick people. And,
super kick people
in the hallways all the time.
Party!
Anyway, I didn't even know their name was Proud and Powerful. I just thought it was their last names. Whatever. Who cares?
Reminds me of Pride and
Why don't they go with Ortiz and
Santana?
Yeah, why just Santana and Ortiz?
That's cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
The OS.
Dude, the OS, the operating system.
Wow, you came up with that for nothing.
OS 10. Mac.
Never mind.
Never mind.
I know where you got that from. Hangman Page and Pac, probably for my money, I don't know, maybe not the best night. Look, all these matches were pretty dynamite. I didn't mean to.
No pun intended.
I didn't mean to have that. But when it came to Hangman Page's match, when it came to the Lucha Brothers SoCal match, when it came to Chris Jericho's match, all really solid wrestling matches.
Well, I will agree with you, but I'm going to take a word out of that. They were all solid matches, but the wrestling part I got to take out of there. Reason being, how many headlocks did you see?
A lot.
How many arm drags did you see? How many hip tosses did you see? Or was it just a bunch of spinning kicks and backflips?
Well, here's the thing, though. When it comes to the tag team stuff, yes, I get that. When it comes to Hangman Page as well as Pac, that match was more brutal than expected. And,
right.
Of course, Pac and whoever he's fighting over the last few weeks, they've all been brutal matches.
Yeah.
But as a story, going from start to finish, fun to watch.
Good stuff.
Jericho as well. Really, really good stuff.
Is he not the promo king right now?
Hang on. We got more to talk about. So Hangman Page beat Pac. I had Pac to win. You didn't.
Yeah.
So, dude, he got the dead eye and took the pin.
What I did like about that match, I wish there were some more wrestling holds in that wrestling match. But the one thing that I did like was how they were so quick to know what the other guy was about to do and how to counter it and how to counter the counter.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought that was, like, that's always good stuff to watch.
Yeah, well, and it gets you invested into the match right away, and they've done that a couple of times on AEW, which is another way that, you know, if you're pushing somebody in WWE like this, I can't think of his name, the guy that's fighting AJ Styles the last couple of weeks. Not Guerrera. Is it Guerrera?
Hoovy!
Wow, that was an old name.
Hoovy!
I was watching something old.
Hoovy was mentioned on Dynamite.
You know what I'm talking about. But if you see...
he's a guy from NXT that just fought Seth Rollins.
Yes.
And now he's fighting AJ Styles.
And you can't think of his name either.
No, because it's such a vanilla name.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It's like Hoovy or something.
What's...
Hoovy Juice!
Anyway, we're getting off track. Sean Spears and
Alicia Fox.
It wasn't Alicia Fox.
That's a throwback if you've been listening to us for a while.
Sean Spears in a match we didn't know was going to happen took on Joey Janela. This was a waste of time.
Boo. Joey Janela, and you know what? I am going to censor myself, but he's just a big piece of
I haven't had fun watching any of his matches since he got his cigarette stapled to his forehead.
He's not cool. He's not fun. He's not edgy.
He does a good promo.
No.
Dude.
He doesn't.
He does a good promo.
He has a terrible build. Listen.
Chris Jericho is a brick house.
Chris Jericho could come in here and lift up this whole broadcasting desk.
That's part of being a heel, though, is you can't be like super, unless you're a Rick Rude.
No,
type,
he legitimately looks like he doesn't work out, period. I could beat up Joey Janela.
Oh.
I'm calling it right now because Enzo almost messed him up.
All right. Well, make sure you have a staple gun in handy because it seems like the
only
thing that puts him down.
I don't need
down.
A staple gun. I will just kick him in the mouth.
Well, none of us talked about that match before it happened.
I hate him.
So it didn't really matter. The SoCal Uncensored match, the Lucha Brothers, Private Party, blah, blah, blah. We didn't have that match on our card either. So it came up out of nowhere. Let's see. SoCal Uncensored did win, which that was cool.
Yeah.
And I like the
Scorpio Sky is my dude, man.
I like this thing that they're doing with AEW, but I don't like it. The lights go out after the match, comes back on. You've got Christopher Daniels. It's Christopher Daniels.
Well, it was cool how he was dressed up.
Right, it was.
Yeah, like that
but
was
the
dope.
Light go out thing.
Come on, stop with that.
Yeah, you got it.
It's too much.
They did it twice.
Every show.
In one night.
Yeah.
So, whatever. So we didn't, it was a good match, but Riho and you stuck with the champ. Actually, we both did, and that was the only one that you didn't get. But again, I'm totally with you on that.
Huh? What happened? I fell asleep.
And I get that this was a friendly match, but I still, look, cosplay in WWE is one thing because they're not, you've only seen a couple of people go full out, okay? This girl's persona is Freddie Mercury of Queen.
It's too much.
Not cool.
Especially
do
when
it,
she's doing
do it on
the,
his birthday or something
doing the
like
AOs
that.
And it's like, no, you can't just do that because you're from Japan.
Whatever. So Riho won.
Yeah, and we all lost having to sit through that.
I can't wait for Britt Baker.
When they announced that
Priestley, somebody to be the champ.
When they announced that this is a 1 hour time limit, I thought, oh my God. If they legitimately make me sit through a Riho Broadway,
right.
I'm gonna jump out of my window.
Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes, or just Cody, was next for the AEW World Championship. Stipulation on the line that he would never challenge for the AEW Championship again.
Yeah.
If he lost.
It's kind of a little Tim Storm NWA thing. Because remember, if he lost, he couldn't challenge for the title.
But is that for the title when it's on
No,
Nick
that's
Aldis?
For the title, period.
But still, he could still fight and win the title somehow.
No,
there's
always a way in pro wrestling, but
the loophole on this, MJF throws in the towel after
I swear
Cody
to you,
gets busted open.
I swear to you, AEW has a lot of BS, and I'm very, I'm not a pro wrestler. I couldn't do half of the stuff these guys do. But with that said, as a fan and what I enjoy to watch as a paying fan, right?
Right.
I think there's so much BS. There's so many lousy wrestlers, or better yet, just uninteresting ones. But when AEW gets it right, they knock it out of the damn ballpark, and they killed it with Cody and Jericho. This story, this match had me on the edge of my seat the entire contest, and the ending I did not see coming, but it was right in front of my face.
For this to be an all-around pretty decent pay-per-view, they could have ended it right there.
Mm-hmm.
With MJF turning on Cody and kind of implicating that night that he's a part of the inner circle at this point. And we found out later that, now Chris Jericho and MJF are best friends.
Right. I know
who the biggest jackass is in AEW. Do you?
One, two, three. Cody
Rhodes.
Yeah.
Are we best friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this match was really good. The brutality of it told a story.
And when Cody took he took the big dive to the outside, which is a move we see in every match, so it's not very special.
But
the way Cody did it was completely by accident because he busted his head wide open.
But it helped the story.
And no, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It benefited the match, and this even is, by accident.
And this is where I will agree with you and also say that when you do the Hangman Page and the Pac matches, when they're flopping each other on the hardest part of the ring.
Every time.
And yeah, all the time. It doesn't tell the story.
No.
This told a story. He got busted open. It made him... as soon as you saw that, and it was brutal too.
Yeah, and then he kept attacking the ribs and attacking the leg, and it was Jericho, man, I swear, I don't know what it is about him, but he just keeps getting better.
Another thing you say too, that when they get it right, they get it right.
Mm-hmm.
They've been talking about MJF turning on Cody Rhodes for a long time.
Oh yeah.
But did you expect it here?
No.
Know why? The story was Jericho, and the story was Cody.
Yep.
It was all about this challenge for the championship. Yep. You never, ever expected it.
And what I loved about the ending of the match was each participant had their respective corner man.
Mm-hmm.
And MJF throws in the towel while Cody is locked in just what looks to be the most excruciating lion tamer of all time.
Right. They all don't look very...
it was brutal.
It's not a very pleasant hold, I'm sure, to be
in. Oh, my God. Your neck and your back, your knees, everything.
But the turn happened. It was great.
But MJF was just like, he was so good about the way that he was like crying. I'm sorry. He's like, friend, I'm sorry. And then... whoosh. Groin kick. Yep. Boom. Hit. That place erupted. I jumped out of my seat.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool moment. What wasn't cool was the next match.
All right, I need your thoughts on this right away.
I have no thoughts at all because this match, to me, is a ginormous... Now, the story that's coming out of it, but... I mean, it has a little bit of my interest because Moxley coming out now, Omega can't wrestle. That stuff they did on Dynamite was okay because they had to do something with it. This match is completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
And this match happened on the last pay-per-view. It happened on the Dynamite a couple of weeks ago. They do this stuff all the time. Why?
I don't know. That's the thing.
I think as a fan, okay, ECW was such a great thing because... You had...
Well, you didn't ever really see that kind of stuff in the States before at that time.
No, but you didn't see the stuff. But once a week, you would see, like, a match that would go a little far. Like, you would have tables involved, or you'd have a trash can lid or something like that. And you might see some blood. Might. But there was such a craving for it at the time.
Yeah.
And it was so different.
It was
different.
A bloodthirsty America then.
This is not... Nobody wants ECW anymore.
No, we want good wrestling.
We want a story.
Yep.
Tell me this story. Why?
I want to forget what I'm watching and just get lost in it.
Right. This was like, hey, guess what? We're going to play ECW. It's kind of like the Star Wars movie that came out after the six were done like years ago and they had the first one. It looked just like all the rest of them.
Yeah.
It's retelling the story again. This is going back to ECW and being stupid about it. Because like, okay... Mick Foley is an example. The dude is an animal back in the day. He did all this stuff back in the day, and he did it, why? Just to get WWE's attention.
Yeah.
Would he ever do this if he already had their attention? No.
Yeah.
No. He wants to walk correctly now. Now he can't.
No, he never will.
No. He's in bad shape because of all the things he did just to get WWE's attention.
All right, let me just say... The one little candlelight of compliment that I can shine onto this, I don't even want to call it a match or a contest, this just whatever the hell we watched. I liked the opening package. I liked Moxley going into Khan's office, which I thought was cool. You couldn't see him. It was just a voice. And he's like, so you're not gonna sanction this match. I came to this company. I'm going after your boy, your handpicked guy, and you're telling me you can't sanction John Moxley. Well, whatever happens to Kenny Omega, it's on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really, really cool. And then how they come out when the lights go off and they come back on, AEW is not held responsible. It made you think, well, damn, we're gonna see some wild stuff here.
Obviously, you're gonna see this stuff, but again,
but it was too much.
And I hate to say that too.
It wasn't that it was just disgusting or gross. It was just a display of stupidness.
Right.
I don't care to see that stuff.
It didn't make sense. Okay, go back to
But I will say I would it was just excruciating. Like, oh my God, why did like every other big and then the big spider web in the end, I'm like, good gosh, guys.
Yeah, the table where they had to get picked out.
Yeah,
of the
and
dang
the thing is,
barbed
why?
Wire.
Why? Why are you doing that?
Okay.
How does it benefit anything?
I don't want to drag this thing out, but one quick thing. If you remember Batista Triple H this year, was that WrestleMania this past year, or was that at something else?
No, it was Mania, last match.
That's right, because he tripped into the ropes. So, we'll always remember that, Batista, sorry.
But we still love him.
I mean, Titus O'Neil has made a career out of it.
Yeah.
So, with that match, there was several different things of brutality, and it got to that point of you wanted to stop the match.
It's too much.
Because, that's the thing, though.
Or it was just going too long.
When he pile-drived him onto the steps, he had already yanked out his nose ring. He had already done, he had already bashed him in the hand with a hammer or something. There was some things going on there. But then he hit that, and it was like, okay, it's about ready to be done. Then Ric Flair comes out, hands, the sledgehammer to him, and it's like, here's the end.
Yeah.
Here it is. What story did this tell?
Nothing.
All this told was, it reminded me of the Joker, scenario of the Joker in Batman Returns, or the Dark Knight Returns, or whatever. Yeah. Where he just wants to watch things burn.
Exactly. That's what it was. It was chaos and brutality for the sake of chaos and brutality.
And I get it. That's what Jon Moxley's character is about. But Kenny Omega should be the anti of that.
Exactly.
And figure out a way to take it away, to balance that out. And to me, when you've got a broom and you've got barbed wire on it, and we talked about this last week. He said, oh, yeah, there's definitely going to be a barbed wire bat and stuff.
Yeah.
I get once. I get twice. I get three times. This was so overdone.
And if it wasn't so long, I don't think I would have such a big negative stance on it. But, there were aspects of it where if it would have ended where I thought it might.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we saw some wild, out-of-control stuff. But I couldn't watch. There's no chance in hell I could have watched a full show of that style of match. I don't know how somebody could do it. It's just not fun to me.
They're two for two on pay-per-views because the last one they had, what was it, a skateboard that had tacks on it or something like that? Why?
Well, think that.
I mean, if you just look. I'm an older guy, and I know that my thought process on that is changed a little bit when I was a kid. But come on. As a kid, still, you've got to. There's an escalation. So they've done this match. Now what do they do next?
Yeah. Seriously. What is it, a gun?
Right. Well, Hell in a Cell. Yeah. You look at Hell in a Cells. Mick Foley goes off the top rope, has that match with The Undertaker. Did the next Hell in a Cell live up to the hype? No. But after that, the next Hell in a Cell, you didn't have anybody jump off it either. You had somebody halfway up and fall down.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, he did it. It was the first time they did it, the last time that really is impactful. And then when you wanted people to watch a Hell in a Cell match because you knew Shane McMahon was going to jump off of it, yeah. Everybody knew that was going to happen.
Right.
That's why you want to watch it. That's what happens.
Yeah.
You won't see that again.
Well, the way I look at it, and we'll move on here in a second.
Sorry.
No, the thing is you look at those last
two. I think that's the most PO'd I've ever got.
I think it is, yeah.
I don't get PO'd very often, but that to me was a Seth Rollins a Fiend match. At,
right, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, that was the ruin that ruined the whole pay-per-view.
Well, my point is, you look at those last two matches in AEW.
Yeah.
And that is a nutshell, that is a snapshot of what that company is offering us as fans right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's either amazing stuff with Cody, with Jericho, MJF, those guys, or it's just a bunch of dumb nonsense.
Right.
For the sake of it being, I don't know, man.
It's for the sake of brutality, and to me, I get, but what you see these kind of matches when the story elevates to that. Did Jon Moxley go get Kenny Omega's wife and, point a gun at her like we've seen in the past? Or,
hey,
or did they break in someone's house or did they just.
Oh, no, he's back.
It's just for the sake of. Hey, I'm gonna cut you. He might as well take a box cutter in the ring and just start slicing him up.
He tried to stab him with a screwdriver or an ice pick. Yeah, man, that wasn't for me.
No, again,
it was certainly a spectacle.
This might make us sound old and out of touch, but to me, that's not. Especially when you if I had somebody come over for the first time, watch that, and they were like, "What?
Why
is
do
going
you
on?
Watch this stuff?
This is sick."
Yeah,
So I get it. But every once in a while, like if they did that match, it was once a year.
Right.
I would totally be into it and totally be all into it. But they do it all the time.
Yeah.
Back off.
Totally.
All right, so.
Well, they do those kind of matches for a typical type of fan. And I'm going to get into why I was surrounded by those fans Wednesday night at Municipal Auditorium.
Well, let's just keep on the AEW track and talk about Dynamite on Wednesday night, because Dynamite was actually a pretty good show.
Yeah.
And it was actually live from Nashville. I was disappointed that it didn't, and I don't know if you watched it back after you went and watched it.
I did.
But it didn't. It had a couple of Nashville mentions, but they didn't do very Nashville stuff. They had like the skyline or the Batman building in the background, right. Some of their graphics. But that was it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, guys, at least, you know, WWE is doing outside shots. They're doing all these other big things. They might be even at a honky-tonk, you know.
Yeah.
Well, honky-tonk, man, playing a guitar or something.
Now, before we do the match rundown, and I completely disagree with you about the show, and I'm glad it came across good on TV. All right, let's just run through a quick little synopsis experience before we dive through each match, okay?
Yeah, I don't even have to dive through each match. It's just, tell me how it was. That's what I want to know.
Obviously, I can have fun at any friggin' wrestling show because it's pro wrestling. And
right.
I love pro wrestling. If there's stuff that I don't like, I go get a hot dog. Whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if I do like
during
it,
the Bailey
I sit
matches,
there and watch
kind of stuff.
No, Bailey, I'm trying to sneak front row. So we get there. And immediately, and I think I took a picture of this, and maybe we can use it as our album art. I don't know. But as soon as I walk in, what do I see?
Let's see here.
Security, right? You have your four lanes of security. They're confiscating everybody's signs.
What?
Every single person that came in ahead of me was getting their signs taken away.
Yeah, but their signs for a little bit of the bubbly. I'm seeing an MJF sign.
Yep.
I'm seeing... What is this thing here?
Like a Go Bucks Go.
Yeah, it's Kodiak Rhodes, American Nightmare. I don't know what that
I don't
means.
Get that either. But
Cody Rhodes, American Nightmare.
Right.
But somebody was making a goof.
Yeah, but there's the thing is they were taking away the fan sign. So at first I'm like, come on. Like if it was like a super offensive like thing that you don't want to put on TV.
Right.
Cool, I get it. You
yeah,
don't want
if you're
to put
calling
that stuff
somebody else's mother or something bad,
right?
Take it away.
But if it's just like, I didn't like that. I thought that's always been, since the beginning of time, one of the cool things about being a fan.
I don't like your mom.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it said.
Yeah.
So I have a question. I don't want to interrupt what you're saying.
No, go ahead.
But I saw pictures of the last Dynamite and how they stacked it to look packed.
Yeah.
Is this how it looked at Municipal? Municipal is not a big place.
No, it's not. But it was not sold out. Not even close.
Really?
But also, you got to take into account that the CMAs were happening the very same night, and we're in Nashville.
Okay, we're in Nashville. Here's the thing. I want to explain this to you because I've had several conversations about this kind of stuff this week, actually. It's kind of coincidence. Nashville has gained so much activity.
Yeah.
That when, like, we used to plan things with radio stations and stuff like that and say, oh, we didn't get an attendance because this was also going on. Nashville's now to the point where there's always something going on.
Yeah.
Something big. And we've had nights where there's 15 big things happening downtown.
It's
and
crazy.
It's chaos. Like, we had Predators game during the NFL draft.
Yeah.
During something else, an Elton John show.
Yeah.
And then there was something else going on. All in the span of five blocks. Okay, that's a lot going on. Now, the CMA Fest was going, or the CMA Awards were going on, which were terrible.
Yeah.
I watched those.
Did you?
Yeah. My
I
wife,
didn't really care, too.
My wife and I thought I was going to be out of town. It ended up falling through. That's why I never got tickets. And then this came up, and she was like, well, you might as well watch the CMA Awards. And I was like, yeah, I'll watch those live
with
you.
Yeah, it'll be kind of fun.
And we bet on who wins and who loses. It's so easy to predict who's going to win.
You should have just predicted Lil Nas X to take them all home.
Well, he took one home, that the only one he was nominated for.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to AEW. The wrestling community and the country community, not the same community.
You don't think so?
Okay, here's the thing. I think they're the same community, but the people that were at the CMA Fest, you know how much those tickets were?
Yeah.
They started at $1,000.
Good gosh.
Yeah, if you want a nosebleed, you can possibly get some at $3, but
still
are
too much.
Those
I
are like
never,
the worst seats in the house.
I would never do that. Never.
$300, and everybody's dressed up like they're going to the prom.
I don't
basically.
Care if it was the American Music Awards. I'm not paying to ever go to some sort of award show.
Well, and when you watch a TV show live,
unless it's the WWE Hall of Fame,
absolutely, I will totally. I'd pay $300.
I'd sit there for 8 hours.
Sure,
whatever.
I would do that. Especially if it was part of my WrestleMania weekend package.
Yeah.
Like when they're in Atlanta next year.
My buddy Michael got his ticket. He's going.
Did he?
Yeah.
Is he going to the big
in
ATL?
Tampa.
Oh, it's Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa.
Isn't it Atlanta like the year after, though?
Maybe.
Or something? I think so. Dude, Tampa would be cool.
Right?
Anyway.
It's his first Mania. I'm jacked for him.
I don't think it's the same crowd because everybody there is they're there to take the selfie. They're there to do all that stuff. It's not the same crowd. I think, you know, if Luke Combs didn't have to be on stage accepting an award, he'd be at AEW.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Well, the part two of that, part one was the CMA Awards were happening at the very same time, probably like a block or two away, right?
Right.
The other side of that was the AEW crowd that was there. And I was trying to explain this to somebody that wasn't a wrestling fan. I go, you're not going to get just your casual father and son at the show, right? You're going to get a very specific type of fan. And the way that I was able to break this down for them was I go, think about like a hipster. Think about somebody that really loves indie rock.
Or a metalhead.
Yeah.
That loves metal music.
But then their band, that band that they've been following, all of a sudden has a huge hit, but now they're a sellout.
Mm-hmm.
They sold out. Like, think of that. That one percenter, that is the exact type of fan that filled half of Municipal. I was surrounded by them.
Yeah.
And it got to be exhausting.
Yeah, because they don't...
Exhausting.
They don't stop. I mean, you and I, when we were there at the live event to watch just the was it the holiday tour or whatever?
Yeah, Smackville.
Smackville was the last one. And Raw coming up.
Yeah, man. Do you get those ticks yet or what?
2 weeks away. But yeah, I'll work on those. But we'll get them. But
cool.
The whole thing with that is, you know, they're so, like, good for television when it comes to... When you're watching it... It comes across like AEW is the best thing in the world.
See, that's the thing. My pal Joe, he's like, hey, tell me, is the crowd really as rowdy as it's been every week that I've watched it on TV? And I said, yes, because the 1% is the most vocal of wrestling fans.
And they like to drink.
Oh, my
so
God.
I'm sure
I saw people just falling down the stairs going to get another beer. You know, legitimately, and those stairs aren't all the same width.
No, not
some
municipal.
Are short, some are long. So if you hit it the wrong way, I don't drink at all. I almost went down a couple times, and then you got these guys throwing them back.
Plus, you got some of those seats are like wood seats still.
Yeah, 32 ounces in a cup, and they're just bringing two or three back at a time. I'm like, good golly!
I'm buying a couple for a friend.
Ease up, I said.
Well, while you're there, you're watching the show.
Yeah.
The behind the scenes kind of look to it when it went to commercial break. The thing that AEW did is they have obviously taken the lead from WWE and several other sporting events where you're actually, you know, picture in picturing some of this stuff. So they never really broke from AEW. Like when you break commercial in WWE, everything goes dark.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times things go dark.
Well, what I noticed from in the arena anytime, so they had these two big screens up, mm-hmm. right? But they weren't part of the set. It was like they were there for the actual venue.
Right.
Right? And whenever they were live on TV, those were up. Whenever they weren't, they would go black. And then the talent in the ring would have to fill time.
Right.
So all of a sudden, you got SCU having to fill like a 5-6 minute commercial break, just getting in all their stuff over again. And then as they're coming back live, the ref gives him the signal. He's like, all right, everybody, get up. Come on.
See, to me, I think WWE's got it down.
So
turning everything dark.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember Bayley coming to the ring. Well, several other people, like Rusev did the same thing. Rusev comes, you know, hey, it's coming to the ring. He got in the ring, posed a little bit. Maybe he talked a little bit. And then everything went dark because it was commercial time.
Yeah.
That gives you a break. It gives you like this, like, and it gives the wrestlers
all right, I can
time
chill
to
for
just,
a sec.
Just okay, we're gonna get ready for this match. They got to get their ready. If you want to go, like when we're fortunate enough to be in the suite, and you want to go grab another donut or something, it's yeah. like yeah,
let's go.
We got three minutes. Let's go.
So here's the thing. I get there. Our seats are pretty much up in the top, right? I wasn't going to spend a lot of money for this stuff.
Well, dude, municipal, explain this. Municipal's small.
And no, it is.
Top seats, you're still in a good
That's
seat.
The thing. It was interesting because I was dead center. Like, mm-hmm. I swear, I couldn't have been any more center to everything. I was dead center to the ring in the middle of the rampway and the stage behind it.
Right.
And I could see everything. I go, if I was any closer, I'd be on top of it, or my view would be obstructed by a bunch of people's heads and hands.
Right.
So it was perfect. You look over to the right, hard cam side. The tier up top was kind of like littered, I'd say.
Yeah.
But the second tier, completely full. First tier on the floor, obviously completely full. And then that wrap behind to where you saw Ambrose come out at the beginning of the show.
Right.
But the whole left side was just, they like darkened it out, and there wasn't really anybody over there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's so interesting because the way it's shot on TV, it looks so friggin' good.
Well, and it saves them money, too, I think, in a way where they can say it's a sellout, and if they don't offer seats. If you don't offer seats, you could say, oh, we're at the sold-out so-and-so.
We only had so many tickets.
But when you look at WWE saying, hey, it's a sold-out Raw, which, you know, they have time. They have hard times filling like Bridgestone,
it's tough, man.
Which is five times bigger.
Municipal. Well, yeah. Julia, my girl, came with me to the event. She goes, "How come they didn't do it at Bridgestone?" And I just said,
"Well, and I think that you know some
and
of
that." That's not a knock. I was just being silly.
No, but some of the points you're making is it's still a new product. It's still
they've only done what 5-6 weeks of TV, and this isn't a knock. These are just observations,
right? And I think that they're still trying to find their audience.
Yeah.
As well as you know, push their audience away. And certain things have happened here. If you look at the ratings, the shine's come off a little bit because Raw tied them last week. This week they beat them.
Yep.
So, or not Raw, but NXT. NXT. But NXT.
Which I didn't get to watch this week.
Dude.
What happened with Finn Balor?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm going to tell
you. Okay, real quick, let's wrap up Dynamite. All in all, Jurassic Express, I could care less.
Agreed.
Okay, the Dark Order could care less.
Yes, agreed.
All right. Also, Sean Spears and Darby Allin.
I like Sean Spears.
I like Sean Spears. Why? Because he looks like a professional wrestler.
Right.
He looks like a man that could kick our ass.
Darby.
The other guys don't.
But see, Darby is the same thing as John Moxley. So, you know, guess what we're going to have next week? It's going to be John Moxley and Skateboard Kid throwing darts at each other. You know, they're going to be out there playing lawn darts and see who can actually land in them.
Paperboy out here.
Stupid.
And Pac and Hangman gave us the exact same match.
Pretty much.
From the pay-per-view.
And it was a great match, though.
Yeah.
Great. It was fun to watch.
The Dark Order, like I said, don't care. Nyla Rose couldn't give a crap. Now, the only thing that I cared about was the promo, was the interaction between Chris Jericho and MJF. Cody comes down, but he got beat up. He's still in rough shape. I get that. But the pop that when his song hit and it was actually MJF, that's when they were the loudest of the night.
Right.
And then he fooled everybody. It was like when Sean got us with Brett.
Yeah.
When he had his song hit kind of thing.
Or The Miz came out as The Rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude.
That kind of thing. So much heat. It was really cool.
I'll never, ever forget
that. And then the interaction between Jericho and MJF was just so good. Like, it was really, really cool. And they actually, it seemed like they filled a bunch more time that wasn't on TV.
Right.
Right? Now, one of the things that I got super mad about was I didn't even get to see, I sat there for like 3 hours. I didn't get to see the Young Bucks in a match. And that's what I wanted to see. Instead, we got this long, drawn out 20-minute backstage brawl, which they toss up on the screens, which is cool. They were huge screens. You could see what's happening, but I couldn't hear anything.
Really?
The audio would come in a little bit here and there, but it was so faint in the background that you couldn't hear the impact of the punches or the kicks.
Right.
It was just lame. And then you go into we're going to film AEW Dark, so stick around. We have two more matches for you. I'm like, bingo, this is where we're going to get the Bucks in a match. They're going to give the crowd their money's worth. And wrong.
What'd you get?
We get Riho and three other girls in a tag team women's match. And it was just, I was like, Michael, let's go. I'm done with this, man.
Yeah. What was the last match? Did you even watch it?
The last match was Private Party and the Best Friends.
Well, Private Party is fun to watch.
They're a pretty good tag team.
Yeah, they remind me of the tag team in WWE.
Street Profits. I'd love to see them make a new day or something. Like, that would be a cool match to watch between them. And the Best Friends, I don't care. Orange Cassidy, I don't care. He got a huge pop during the brawl with the Bucks when he gets thrown into the bathroom and he's just randomly standing there in the men's room, like handing people's towels or something. But that's the thing. It's all that 1% fan that loves that kind of stuff because they feel like they're a part of something. And what do we as people want to be? We want to feel like we're a part of something.
Right.
So I can completely understand. It's their exclusive club. If you don't like it, stay out because we don't want you in it anyway. Look, and I'm like, good.
Look, they've got talent there. It's just some of that.
Oh, without a doubt.
There's a lot of talent there, and a lot of it's A talent. You know,
but a lot of it is trying to pick up a turd on the clean end.
Well,
you can't do that.
Yeah, but again,
a line from Cornette.
When you're talking about picking up a turd on the clean end, you got to tell a story about how you're going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to make somebody actually want to hear how you're picking it up. And what's going to be the big deal about it?
Yeah.
And a lot of these things just don't have anything to them. I mean, you can't tell a story about everything. There's always these squash matches where you have, Kane kicking out Daniel Bryan in 8 seconds flat or whatever.
So
Sheamus kicking out Daniel Bryan.
Bottom line, did I have fun? You bet your ass I did because it was a pro wrestling show. There were a couple of few things that I really liked. But did I think it was a great show? No. I think they could have put on a better show.
TV-wise, it looked great.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of fun. I loved watching Scorpio Sky.
He's so good.
I just do.
I loved watching live and then seeing the actual live air feed on TV and the way Moxley comes out. They picked the perfect spot. It looked packed. It looked unreal. I'm like, they have a sense of what they're doing. Like they're obviously professionals, but overall experience, I'd give it maybe a C-.
Okay. Well, I did like the you said you didn't like this part, but I did like when they came out on the stage. They threw Matt Jackson through the stage thing.
Yeah, and he painted a perfect circle.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. maybe he does that street art on the side. You know why they do this?
Graffiti.
Possibly. But no, when they did that, kind of like they did with the Rock and Roll Express the week before, entertaining.
Yep.
I enjoyed that. But all in all.
But then randomly, the Private Party come out after 20 minutes of the Bucks getting destroyed, which is a fight that I think they started.
Dude, when you're
and all of a sudden, you're going to have Private Party versus Proud and Pop. It's like, what?
Look, what? You can't hear much when you're in the VIP section. You just can't.
You're right.
When you're in the VIP, the tunes are bumping or you call it now.
The girls are dancing.
That's
the liquor's flowing.
You don't know any of that. You can't hear what's going on. And then somebody will come up and whisper and say, Hey, Young Bucks are getting their butt kicked.
They're getting their butts handed to them. You better go out there.
Huh? So it happens.
Yeah.
We don't have much time left to talk, but I do want to fill you in. NXT,
Please break it down to me. What's happening with Finn Balor?
Okay, first and foremost, I'll give it to you in a nutshell with Finn Balor. Nobody knows what side he's on, as I predicted.
Is he with the OC, or is he Undisputed Era?
As far as I know, and I watch this pretty intently.
I just canceled Comcast before I had left to go to this event, so I didn't watch it.
You need to watch NXT. Best show they've done in a while.
Ooh.
When it comes to Finn
Balor, I saw Bayley was there.
When you see Finn Balor, you don't know. There's still a question mark.
Man.
Oh, speaking of the question mark, who had the question mark this week?
Question mark. Question mark. Question mark.
NWA Power?
Yeah, why was he so over?
He was awesome.
People loved him, and he beat up on that Canadian kid.
Somebody, and he has a mustache.
It's Josephus.
No, it's not Josephus.
Absolutely, under the mask.
No way.
It's Josephus.
He's built better than Josephus, and he has a red mustache. I think it's Sheamus.
No.
It's totally Sheamus
If Sheamus stopped working out for 8 years.
No, he was in decent shape, wasn't he?
No, he was not.
Oh, well.
It's Josephus.
Well, he was the question mark, and I think the question mark.
Question mark. Question mark.
All you need was a black mask and a big old...
And the blacks didn't even match his tights to his top. And his they were different shades. It was just... It was El Generico 1.
To take a long story of NXT Raw and SmackDown this week, I think they're doing a fantastic job of integrating all the brands for a reason.
For Survivor Series.
And to have Bayley show up at NXT was a good thing. You know, you've had Shayna Baszler showing up a lot, which is really cool.
And her
crew. That helps with War Games that's happening that weekend. So, or I think the same weekend. I think it's Saturday, right?
Night before.
So, I mean, they're doing it really good. And I love how these NXT guys and gals are on Fox.
Yeah.
And they're getting that primetime stuff. Here's my worry. You have Survivor Series and then you have TLC. You're already getting TLC matches locked in.
Really?
Yes. There's already TLC matches locked
in. I saw somebody with... I don't know if it was during NXT. It must have been because that's when Bayley attacked Baszler. But she was out there with all the other women's champs, and one of them was holding a briefcase.
Yeah, they've already established that there's going to be a tag team match between Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch against the Kabuki Warriors.
Okay.
For the women's tag team championships.
Wait, Becky and Charlotte is a team?
Yes.
They're going to win.
I believe that's at hopefully.
You can bank on it.
Let me get this right.
Where's my belt?
Becky Lynch versus Bayley is at versus Shayna Baszler. That's at
Survivor Series. That's going to be a damn good contest.
TLC,
right there.
They've talked about this happening. I don't know if it's I think it's been confirmed. But this match, okay, WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's 3 months away.
That's it, man.
After TLC, it's about a little over 3 or 4 months away.
That's crazy.
But you have the man, you have the queen going against the tag team champs. Don't you see Ronda Rousey finally coming back into this
situation?
Finding
her way into this fold?
I think so. Yeah. I think you're going to see some Ronda Rousey at the end of the year.
Man, for Survivor Series, I would have loved to have seen the four horsewomen of MMA versus the four horsewomen.
It hasn't happened yet.
I know.
It could happen. I could be off of pay-per-view on this.
It's still cool to get brand versus brand versus brand.
Sure, and I really like that they're integrating all three. I mean, you've got Team Raw, Team SmackDown, AJ Styles lined up with Shinsuke Nakamura.
And Adam Cole is just coming out of all this like a freaking gem.
I think you're right, though, man. He needs to hit the weight room.
Yeah, he needs to bulk up a little bit.
You need to put some weight gainers, you know, into your system.
Just literally go to the gym with Brock for 2 weeks.
Right.
You'll be fine.
Well, here's my thing. You've got Viking Raiders. You've got all these like Raw versus NXT versus SmackDown. I don't think any of them win championships on this. Now, there's the WWE Championship is on the line for Rey Mysterio and Brock Lesnar.
I can't wait for that.
There's going to be shenanigans in that match.
Brock's going to win.
Well, Brock's going to win.
Or does Dominic turn on his
father? But you're going to also see probably the return of Cain Velasquez.
Oh, gosh.
You might even see Dominic in this.
I hope Dominic turns on his dad.
Becomes a player on this. It could be a thing.
And he gets his hair cut like Brock, and he gets the tattoo, and he wants to be Brock.
But, again, there's no belts on the line besides that. At this point, it's champion versus champion versus champion, which I don't think you're going to win a belt. You're just going to...
It's more bragging rights.
I'm Team Raw, and I want it for Team Raw.
Yeah.
So, and are they going to keep track this year, unlike they didn't last year? Like, the New Day was cut out of the whole equation because...
Right.
Who was it? Was it SmackDown that won, or was it Raw
like
that won?
Like a clean slate.
Yeah. So, but no, it was opposite. Like, it was Team Raw won everything.
But you're like, well, what about this match?
Right.
So it wasn't a clean slate.
Yeah. So, but no, the way they're integrating everything looks really cool. Please go back and watch NXT.
Yeah.
It blew AEW away. And I thought AEW was really good.
Okay, wow.
So I thought, and they didn't have very many, you know, AEW had one or two. I think it was one for sure. And NXT had a couple of... matches that didn't really mean much.
Where you can kind
of
get up, go get some food kind of thing.
Right. You have to have a hot dog match. So
yeah, I love hot dogs.
They definitely did that, but still, all in all, the show is really, really good.
Excellent.
So tonight on SmackDown, we are getting The Fiend.
Oh.
Or
Bray Wyatt. We don't know.
But here's the thing. Last week, SmackDown, The Fiend attacks Daniel Bryan. We don't wait. I think that was 2 weeks ago.
Is The Fiend gonna attack Bray Wyatt?
Wait, my eyes just crossed. No, I think...
Where's Ramblin' Rabbit?
But I think you're going to see... The Fiend, is he going to go on a tear where he's attacking everybody, or is Daniel Bryan next?
That could be cool, man.
Dude. I mean, Daniel Bryan will lose.
Daniel Bryan's, he's had time to cool off from being champion now. It's been a while. So right. I could totally see him jumping right back into that kind of picture.
But Daniel Bryan's supposed to be talking with The Miz on Miz TV. I totally see The Fiend showing up, or Bray Wyatt showing up somehow, because this, I think...
If it's The Fiend, he's showing up in person.
Right.
If it's Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse.
Hi, guys!
It's coming up on the screen.
I hope it's Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
The New Day, the Revival rematch, championship match, which they don't ever have rematches anymore.
Yeah.
But I still think the Revival's going to lose that one.
Come on, man.
Nikki Cross on Bayley.
If she wins, she's in.
Yeah, Nikki Cross to take on Bayley for the right to join Team SmackDown. I don't care about that. Mustafa Ali is now Mustafa Ali again.
He got his name back. Yeah, he talked about it on Twitter.
Shorty G. Okay, a couple of great names.
He is like the most dominant rec league basketball player ever.
Okay, well, you've got Mustafa Ali, Shorty G facing Rude Dolph for the Survivor Series spot on the line. I think... Is Shorty G already on the team?
I don't know.
Well, I think Shorty G and Mustafa Ali will not be on the team because Rudolph is a tag team.
Shorty G has always been the last to get picked, so he has something to prove.
And your girl, Lacey Evans, is so good. She didn't have to wrestle in a match to get on her team for Survivor Series.
She's in.
Just announced it yesterday.
Wow, okay.
Or today, one or the other.
See, back off, you nasty.
Right. So, dude, I'm kind of pumped. Survivor Series is coming up. It's going to be November 24th. Is that correct? Yes. November 24th is a week from this Sunday. So next week we'll have predictions.
That's cool. All right. Yeah, I'm down.
Next week we'll have predictions. And we'll also have to do this podcast early in the week.
Okay.
So probably Wednesday, possibly Tuesday.
All right.
So we'll make our predictions fairly early. So hopefully between Raw and tonight's SmackDown and Monday's Raw, we get at least a good picture by Tuesday. We've got a huge event going on next week, our big bike fundraiser.
Yes,
so
dude.
I will be out of the office for 5 straight days.
And I'm just going to come bug you for hours.
Well, you can build bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of bikes to build and some Marines to high five and, probably some food to eat. We're getting all kinds of free food. So
you know where I'm going to be this weekend?
Home?
McDonald's.
McDonald's?
Grand reopening, Nolensville Pike.
Wicka, wicka, wicka. Are you doing the ones and twos?
No, I'm just there to, live remote, kiss babies, shake babies.
Shake babies and kiss hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing the same thing tomorrow morning.
And I'm going as Bray Wyatt.
Are you going as Bray Wyatt?
That'd be cool.
Dude, I totally go as The Fiend. Turn all the red lights red. Or the Hamburglar.
Hi, guys.
I totally go as the Hamburglar.
Grimace.
Grimace is the man.
Turn everything purple.
Dude, whatever happened to Mayor McCheese?
Who?
You don't remember Mayor McCheese?
No.
Okay. You got to go back way past the Fry Guys.
Okay.
Okay. Mayor McCheese was one of the first originals. Okay.
Like before Ronald?
No, Ronald was there. And then you had his cast of characters show
up.
Like Grimace, Hamburglar, Mayor McCheese.
Was he like a real guy or was he a puppet too?
No. He had a blue suit because he was like a police officer looking thing.
So was he the mayor or was he a cop?
But I think it was a combination, but his head was a big hamburger. So it was pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
Because what was the one that went rubble, rubble, rubble? That was a Hamburglar, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Then Fry Guys started showing up and things just went all stupid.
Went haywire, yeah. Well, dude, I'm glad
we kind of got off track there a little bit.
I'm glad to have back the belt. I am...
Enjoy it for a week because in 2 weeks I will be throwing it back over this shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good luck to throw it on the right or the left shoulder?
I don't put it on either shoulder. I put it on my waist like a real champion.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, my waist is
Thank
too
you.
Big, but it fits
no,
on
it
my
not.
Leg. One of my legs can barely hold it.
Well, predictions going down next week.
More AEW trash talk, I'm sure.
Yeah, we covered them a lot today.
Yeah, we had a lot of AEW trash talk today.
Yeah, well, we had the pay-per-view, and then I was there at Dynamite.
Gosh, we must really hate AEW.
Yeah, we're giving them an hour and a half of coverage. Yeah. Send me that check, Cody, that you promised me.
All right, go watch NXT.
All right.
You'll love it, and then we'll get back early next week.
For Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers. We'll catch you next week.
Rip 'em.